Your Bibles, please, for our first reading to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude both of the Jews and also of the Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews, with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were ware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man in Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who, steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw that what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and, having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, and to Iconium, and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So we continue on here from our study last week, beginning Paul's first missionary journey with Barnabas. We'll remember that they landed first at Cyprus. Barnabas was originally from Cyprus, and they went all the way through that island from the east to the west. If you look at that island, it looks something like a diamond, maybe something like that on a map. And so what they did was they started on the east side, and they went all the way to the west side. And from there, they sailed north into that southern coast of today's Turkey, and going a little farther than the coastline there, they ended up in a place called Antioch Pisidia. And we have Paul's first recorded sermon there on that missionary journey. We're not told what they did in Cyprus very much, just a few details. But in Antioch Pisidia, we have a very full statement of Paul's sermon there in Antioch Pisidia, just like, and this is, I think, somewhat parallel to Peter's first sermon on the day of Pentecost. We see some similar elements in those. And this is the companion of the apostles, Dr. Luke, showing that Paul is every bit as much an apostle as Peter was at the beginning. And so some of those same kinds of things or parallel events are shown here between Peter and Paul to show that they are both bona fide apostles and sent by the Holy Spirit, as we saw last week, out to do this work of the ministry that he's called them to. Well, they were run out of town from Antioch Pisidia by the jealous or envious Jews. They didn't want those filthy Gentiles coming to faith in Christ. And when the Gentiles showed more interest in the gospel than the Jews did, they were stirred to jealousy. And not only were they stirred up against the Gentiles, but they were stirred up against the apostle to the Gentiles as well. And so Paul, you know, shakes out his raiment and he says, it was necessary that the gospel should first come to you, but now we go to the Gentiles. And off they go out of that city. And now we come to chapter 14, verse 1, continuing that journey. And here we are in Iconium. Okay. So in Iconium then, notice that this was Paul's habit, that he went into the visible church. He went to the synagogue, and we've seen this before. We saw it in Antioch Pisidia. It is indeed perfectly right and fitting that he should do so. We have developed, I think, in these latter days, this kind of aversion, right? Oh, why would he go to the synagogue? Because the synagogue was the visible church of that day. Just like asking this question, why would Paul, for his text of Scripture, use an Old Testament text? Because the New Testament wasn't written yet. Where was that text read, and where was it expounded in those days? What was the visible church of that day? It was the synagogue. And so when, following the example of Christ, Christ went into the synagogue, sat down, received the scroll, and read, so also did the apostles when they traveled to various cities. All right, so he spake in such a way that a great multitude, both of Jews and also of Greeks, believed. Now let's make sure we get this straight. Before, we've had this word called Grecians. Grecians are Jews that were Hellenized. This is a different Greek word. This just simply means those who are of Greek ancestry. So Paul is preaching now, and he's preaching both to Jews and Greeks, and many of the Greeks believed. This is important because this represents now a flowing of the Gentiles into the church, which was prophesied in the Old Testament, especially I would think of Isaiah chapter 49, but other places as well. And so here they come, and they are believing the things that Paul preached. Well, then, there were unbelieving Jews, and we note Luke's specificity there. The Jews that believed weren't ill-affected against their now Gentile brethren. It was the unbelieving Jews that were affected against the Greeks that were believing. And so they stirred up the people, they stirred up other Gentiles also, and made their minds evil-affected against the brethren. And by brethren there, Dr. Luke means the apostle and his companions, those who were traveling with them. John Mark has already departed. We saw that last chapter. So it's Paul and Barnabas and any others that were accompanying them. And I believe that there were those that were accompanying them. We just don't know who they were. We'll see that later when Paul travels, there are others, and their names come up occasionally, right? Okay, so they made their minds evil affected against the brethren. And so what did Paul do? Well, he gave up and left town. No, what does it say? It says that, therefore they abode a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord. And what did the Lord do? He gave them signs and wonders to confirm that message of the word that they taught. And so then there were many that came to faith in Christ, and then the city became itself divided. The Jews on one side, that is unbelieving Jews, and the apostles on the other. And so there was an assault made, both of those unbelieving Gentiles and also of the Jews with the rulers. And they were going to use them despitefully. That's how Luke puts it. It's a very modest way to say they were going to try to harm them physically, even all the way to stoning. So what does Paul do? Well, he's a manful guy. He's a courageous guy. So go ahead and stone me if you want. I'm going to stay. No, that's not what happens. He leaves to preach another day. They leave that city and go elsewhere. Sometimes the better part of discretion is not to simply stand and suffer, but to go and preach elsewhere. And so that's what Paul does here. All right, and we're glad he did, obviously, because now we're going to see the gospel going even farther than Iconium. Now we see Lystra and Derbe, cities of what is called Lycaonia. Lycaonia is a section of that subcontinent Asia, right? The subcontinent Asia, meaning Turkey today. It's a little bit farther to the west. To the east. A little bit farther to the east, and a little bit to the south. And so there are two other cities that they go to speak. And notice, just as Peter, right, in Acts chapter 3, now the Apostle Paul fastens his eyes on a lame man and raises him up, and the man leaps and jumps, very parallel, right, to what we saw in Acts chapter 10. Again, Dr. Luke, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, is showing us the veracity of the Apostle Paul's office. The difference is there was no temple there. We don't know where Paul was. It doesn't say. But we're going to follow his pattern and say that when Paul went to Lystra and Derbe, that it would have been his pattern to go to the synagogue. And it would have made sense for a man who was lame to beg at the synagogue, because that's where compassionate folks, religious folks, would have been traveling, right, in order to worship there, and he might have more success. All right, very interestingly then, when the people saw what they did, they lifted up their voices in the speech of the Lycaonians. We might say more than just the speech, but in the mental attitude of the Lycaonians. And what did they say? The gods have come down to us. And they even had names for them, right? Barnabas was the aged, probably, the older, and so they named him Jupiter. This is Jupiter. And then Paul, the younger spokesman, well, they named him Mercurius. And the priest of Jupiter came out, and he was ready to offer sacrifice to them. Okay, let's pull up stakes here and think about this for a moment, this circumstance, and how a parallel circumstance is often played out in our day. You've heard me say this from the pulpit. I will say it again and again, because I agree with the great Genevan reformer, John Calvin. Why did we need a reformation? Because the worship of God was so perverted that we weren't serving him any longer. And secondly, the gospel was so perverted that people weren't being saved. Right? But he put those in priority of worship first, gospel second. Do you see what Paul does here? Worship first, gospel second. In this situation, beloved, if you put the gospel first and worship second, then Paul's going to say, come on, make those sacrifices, but now I have a message for you. But he doesn't do that. He and Barnabas are humbled to the fact, no, we don't want any idolatry going on here. Even if it draws you in and makes you more susceptible to the message, no. And may I say, beloved, it is with grief that I tell you this. that there are many missionary organizations outside of the church set up on that very model today, that they will gladly take syncretism on the mission field in order to have a greater opportunity to preach the gospel. That's exactly the opposite of Paul's strategy here. No, knock off your idolatry. Let me tell you about the true God instead. We cannot have idolatry for the sake of the gospel. And this is exactly what Paul does here. We are men of like passions with you and preach to you that you should turn from these vanities. All that you've been worshiping your whole lives, Lycaonians, has been vanity. Turn from that. That is what we call the offense of the cross. And he's not afraid of that. Turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. And we note the parallel there to Romans chapter 1. You have in your ancestry, your fathers, in the religion that you have received, you have turned away from the true God and you've invented a God in your own image instead. Turn away from those vanities and turn to the true God. That is your only hope. So then, with all of those things, scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And of course, in the mindset of the Lycaonians, it made absolute sense to offer sacrifice to them because they had seen the power of God. But Paul would not have that perverse worship standing in the way of the gospel. So the syncretism must go. We must not be syncretistic, beloved. We cannot mingle the worship of God with the worship of pagans, even if it appears to us that it advances the cause and kingdom of God, because I can tell you it does not. Paul will tell you it does not by his own example here. Okay, so having done that then in verse 19, we go to the balance of the chapter and we note that some very evil things take place. Those from Antioch, Pisidia, and Iconium have now joined forces. The Jews of those two cities have come together, and what they were not able to accomplish in Iconium, now they will accomplish at Lystra. And that is that they take hold of Paul, and it says that they stoned him. But I hope you saw the detail there. They stoned him in the city and then dragged him out of the city and left him for dead out there. Well, this is an injurious thing, isn't it? Not only did they stone him, but then they drug him. They dragged him out of the city. Well, it was obvious that the Lord was with the inspired apostle that day and not only spared his life, but when the disciples gathered round him, raised him up. And then he went on to Derbe and preached there. And then he and Barnabas said, let's go back through the cities and those places where we have preached the gospel and erected a gospel church in those cities. Let us go back then and make sure that they have elders. And so they went back through and ordained elders in all of those cities. And so in the expansion of the church, what do we have? We have what sometimes does happen during days of Reformation. The preaching goes out. And as the preachers go out and call people to faith in Jesus Christ, churches are erected. It would be normal for a church then for that preacher that had gone out there to remain there and to minister to those people and to raise up officers there. But Paul and Barnabas had a different calling. They were sent out by the Holy Ghost to Asia Minor proper. So they went from city to city to city. And yet, while those churches existed for a time without officers, right? Still, those officers were supplied as soon as it was practicable for them to have officers. And so Paul and this is the pattern of the New Testament. And so Paul and Barnabas went back through those cities and raised up an officership before they returned to Antioch. Because once they returned from that country to Antioch, they don't know where they might end up. And so those churches are erected with officers then before they leave the subcontinent, before they head back to Antioch. And then the way Dr. Luke completes this chapter here is we have just several cities that they stopped at without much detail: Pamphylia, Perga, Attalia, and then from there they went back to Antioch. These are all places in the south of modern-day Turkey. And then they sailed in that northern section of the Mediterranean Sea eastward to where that coastline turns south. And just inland from there is Antioch, from where they had been commended to the grace of God by the brethren. And notice, when they came back to Antioch, what did they do? They called the church together and gave their report to the church as men under the authority of that sending church, the presbytery of Antioch. This is the pattern of missions in the New Testament. It's not, let's see how much we can offload to some third-party organization. That's not what we do. This is why we have chosen particular missionary works to support, because they have followed this New Testament model. And so they abode a long time with the disciples there, and that's how Dr. Luke ends the chapter. Let us remember this verse to take with us from this reading in verse 22. After Paul had been stoned and departed to Derbe, he preached the gospel to that city, right? And then returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, as it were, into the teeth. It wasn't for a lack of courage that Paul departed from Iconium the first time. He goes back. Why? Because there is yet work to do. And what is the work that needs doing? Two things, it says in verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. So the first reason was for the encouragement of the brethren there. And then the second reason, verse 23, was to erect elders in those churches, to erect an eldership so that those folks might have teaching and comfort and exhortation from the scriptures to continue in the grace of God. They did not leave them as orphans. Beloved, this is contrary to the pattern of many even reformed churches that will set up a preaching station hither and yon without a minister for, or without elders on site for years and years and years and years. This is contrary to the pattern of the Apostle Paul. And you know how I feel about the book of Acts. This is our manual. This is what we must follow. Okay, with that then, let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.